difference this afternoon. We're all going to nap. Pray to the Lord. Amen. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now notice, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." I believe today that the theme of the Bible, above all themes, is that God is holy. I believe that there is no greater thing to understand today than that God is sinless. And the Bible, it tells us that it even humbles him to look down upon the earth. And so God is holy. And being holy, he's sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, and his Son was holy. And his Son came to this world as all God and all man. And he came sinless. And he never sinned. No matter what Hollywood says and how they portray him, Christ was sinless. That means he never thought of sin. His eyes never beheld sin. His ears never heard sin in them the way that we would. His hands never practiced sin. His feet never took him where there was sin to be sinned. He was around sinners and yet not hurt or contaminated by their sinfulness. Whenever Christ died and rose again and ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came to draw sinners. And once we accept the leading of the Holy Spirit, we come to Christ, know him as our Savior. We begin what we call the Christian life. We start on a new journey. The old is passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so we have repented, we have turned from this direction unto the Savior, unto God by faith in Christ, and we are on a new journey. Now, if you're saved, you're on a journey. And it's a new one. It's a way you've never been and I've never been, but a way that the Savior's been, and he knows all things. And that's why he can be the great high priest that he is. There are some expectations that God has for each one of us on this journey. It's regardless of your age. It's regardless of whether you're a male or female. It's regardless of whether you are the preacher or the person sitting in the pew today. The requirement is the same. And that is, God wants you to get closer and closer, or let me put it this way, more and more like Christ and less like the world. More what you're going to be in eternity and less of what you were before you got saved. And so the further we walk on this journey with the Lord, the closer we ought to be to him, and the further we ought to be from the world. We call that sanctification. We call it consecration. We preach that men ought to sanctify or be sanctified by the Spirit of God. Be holy. Set apart. The Lord tells us, come out from among them and be ye separate. Separate from the world. Separate from the flesh. Separate from the inspirations of the evil that's in this world. The Bible says the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so on this journey that we go on, we have this helper called the Holy Spirit. He's God, by the way. He's all God. He's the third part of the Trinity. He lives inside of us. And he is trying to conform us to the image of Christ. Amen. He is trying to conform us to the image of Christ and to make us more like Christ and less like the world. That is an ongoing work. I wish today I could say, after being saved 37 years, that I have less and less problem with the world and the things of the flesh and sin. Let me put it that way. But you know what? No matter how old you are physically, and maybe even in the Lord, there is a constant battle against that old man, that old nature that's inside of us. And it never goes away. We're never relieved of the presence of that old man until Jesus comes one day and takes us home. Then we will be relieved from that old nature and its impact upon our life. And so here in Peter's epistle, he writes to these Christians in verse number 3, because Jesus is coming and because salvation is real right now in the soul and one day will be revealed in the flesh whenever he changes our body into a body like unto his, transforms us either in the rapture or through death, one or the other. Either way, that is the motivation today for us to be holy people and to be less and less and to think less and less and to act less and less and to practice less and less of what we were and to strive to be more what we're going to be in eternity. And so this is the basis. So he says, as obedient children. Now that's the key to sanctification. You will never, ever, I will never, ever be sanctified. I'll never be holy in my body, in my mind, in my speech, in any area of my life, unless I decide, first of all, that I have to be obedient to God. I have to obey what he says in this book. This is the guideline. The things that I'm to do, the things that I'm not to do are recorded right here in the Bible. God has never asked more or less than what's right here. Right here it is. And so inside this book, I have to discern, I have to decide, I have to submit myself to be an obedient unto the Lord. To be obedient unto the Lord. I have to commit myself that above all things, I want to be an obedient child unto the Lord. Sadly, I can say this. I have not always been obedient to my earthly mother and father. And even worse than that, I have not always been obedient to my heavenly Father. I have done things that have been a disobedience. As an obedient child, as a disobedient child, I practice more what I was than what I am. See, I am a child of God. Well, come on. I am a child of God. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That we are the sons of God right now. And when I'm disobedient, I practice more of what I was, what I used to be, than what I am. You see, before I was a part of the kingdom of darkness. I was, as Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. And when I'm disobedient, I'm more like that. And so he said, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves. Now that is personal responsibility. Sanctification of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing. But let me say this, it hinges on whether or not you'll obey or not. Now you have to determine that I am not going to willfully give myself to sin. Now I know we oftentimes think that it's all God's responsibility to make us the Christian we ought to be. But let me say this, God puts a lot of responsibility on you. The Bible says in 1 John verse number 3, he said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Well, how do you purify yourself? Well, you confess your sin. You keep yourself clean. You do the things that you can do, and what you can't do, God aids you by the power of the Holy Spirit to do. And so he says, as obedient children, the obedience is going to help separate you from the world and the ways of the world and the ideas of the world and the thinking of the world. Not fashioning. Now that word fashion means to conform. It means to pattern after. God said, as a child of God, I don't want you fashioning or patterning yourselves after the way you used to be instead of the way you're going to be. Now, here's that turning point in salvation. The cross. When you got born again. Everything on that side is what you used to be. Everything on this side is what you're going to be. And the Lord said, I don't want you fashioning yourselves by what you used to be, but I want you to fashion yourselves like you're going to be. Now, we got to get that in our minds today. Now, the fashioning comes, we sometimes talk of fashion. We used to have a little store back home called Fashion Lane. Did y'all ever have Fashion Lane around here? Well, I'm not sure it was fashion, but that was the name of the store. I don't remember much about it except everybody liked to go there. It was back then your modern day something. Walmart, Dollar General, I don't know. All right, all put together, Fashion Lane. But fashion plays a lot. Every once in a while I've seen, I don't have regular TV, so every once in a while something on one of these advertisements will come up from these people over in, I guess it's over in England or somewhere, France, I don't know, and they're doing a fashion show. And I'm wondering to myself as I look at that, who in their right brain would wear that? And second of all, who would pay for it? Amen? Good gravy. I mean, some of it looks like a costume of some sort. And they call that fashion. Now, you can probably tell I'm not into much fashion. Amen? It's just not my style. Fashion. But fashion is the way, the word fashion here, pattern, conform, is a good word to use out of the Bible. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so this thing of fashioning ourselves is something that you have to do as an individual. You have to purpose. God, today I'm going to fashion myself not according to the world, but according to you. Not what I was, but what I am going to be. What I am and what I am going to be. So there's this battle that goes on in us. You know, if the fashion was just the dress, you know, how we dressed, that'd be pretty easy to fix. That all of us could look like a Christian, whatever that would be, in everybody's brain, okay? If God said in the Bible, now I want you to put on a nice shirt, and for us guys, put on a nice shirt, shoes and pants and a belt, and have your hair nice and trimmed, and, you know, went through the ordeal, and that is the picture of a good fashioned Christian. Well, we might be able to accomplish that, some of us. Now, if God said you had to be a size 30, I'd leave two or three of us out. But you know, God doesn't, He's not talking about the outside here. We have a lot of Christians that the outside seems to be the most important, but it's that hidden man of the heart that God's looking at. And so if it was the outside, we could say, well, we could do this, this, and this. Or if it was for you ladies, God said, all right, I want you to dress like this, this, and this. All right? And God does give us all some warnings and some exhortations on how our outward appearance should be. But He's not talking about that. He's talking about what's on the inside. And I'm going to tell you what's on the inside is all of the flesh is fashioned like this. And all that's on the inside that's of the Spirit is fashioned like this. And I'm telling you what, there is a daily battle within us to make sure we're more like what we're going to be than what we were. So He uses a comparison. I don't want you to fashion yourselves the way you were in your former lusts. But I want you to be holy, I want you to be holy like I'm holy. Well, that doesn't seem hard, does it? Till you try. Yeah. I mean, you know, Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes, so why should I look on a maid? You know what he said? I'm not gonna want another woman, so I'm never gonna look. He said the Bible talks about these former lusts and such like. And so God said, I want you to be I don't want you to be what you were, but I want you to be what you are. All right? And so that's the battle that goes on. Now, how do we strive, or how do we commit ourselves to holiness? How do we commit ourselves to being what God wants us to be, instead of being what we would, let me say it like this, what we'd even like to be sometimes? I'll tell you what, I just feel as comfortable over here as I do over there. Now, come on. Amen. Now, right here's the turning. If I step on this side, I'm out of walking with God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm in sin. And I'm going to tell you what, when I get in sin, and this old nature gets to enjoying sin, I'm pretty comfortable right over here. I'm not pleasing to Him, but I'm in the flesh pretty comfortable right here. When I'm over here and walking in the Spirit, I'm really comfortable over here. I've read some books of guys that believe in total sanctification while you're here on the earth. I wish I believed that. Amen? And more than that, I wish I could practice it. But about the time I think I'm here, I find I get myself over here. And when I'm over here, I think, boy, I really like it over here. But I know I need to be over there. And boy, there's this battle that goes on. So he said, I don't want you to do that. So he tells us to put off some things. Put off some things. All right? So it's like getting dressed, only it's spiritual. You've got to put off these things that are harmful to your Christian life. You have to be willing, and you have to be determined that I'm going to do this, and where you fail and where you stop, the aid of the Holy Spirit helps you. You see, much of our thinking today is so worldly and so worldly minded, so worldly influenced, that we really sometimes don't even believe how much the world has affected us. We justify things that we don't want to do that's right over here, but are acceptable over there. And so as obedient children, you begin to practice this. You begin to practice godliness. And I can tell you this, in my own personal walk with the Lord, it seems to me the closer I want to get to the Lord, the more sinful I see myself as being. It seems like if I get here, I think, boy, you know what? I really enjoy being here. But if I make it closer to God over here, I look back there and I think, man, I'm far from where I need to be. And so there's that always that sinfulness. Now, how do you not conform? First of all, you have to commit. Second of all, you got to confess. You got to get this junk out of you. Jesus gave a parable about a man who had some unclean spirits in him, and he drove him out and he cleaned his house. And the Bible says that spirit went about and he couldn't find any place to live. So he said, well, I'm going to go back to my old place and see if it's, ain't nobody living there. I'll see if I can get back in yonder. And so he roams around, he goes back and he finds it all swept and cleaned and looking real good. And the Bible says he goes and he gets seven spirits worse than him. Now, I don't understand that at all. Amen. He gets seven spirits worse than him and goes back, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. Now, let me tell you what I've seen in that story. There are many Christians who get a good swept house, but it's empty. There's nothing in there. When we built our house a couple years ago, or two or three years ago, whenever it was, we didn't have hardly anything. But now all of a sudden, you got to watch where you walk. And some of it you find that you're tripping over. And I think, good gravy. Amen. How do you accumulate so much junk in just a little bit of time? Not really junk, but things that I don't want that Yvette has, and we have them. And so they're all, scattered through the house. Now the good stuff is mine. It is not messing up the house. It is helping the house to be fulfilling its purpose in life. Amen. But you have to fill that house. We had a cat, had kittens, and mysteriously all the kittens have disappeared except one. And when the mama cat was here, we never had a mouse problem. I mean, she'd kill rabbits. I mean grown rabbits. I'm not talking baby rabbits. I mean grown rabbits. And I'd always have a talk with her. Catch mice. Amen. She'd catch birds. My neighbor's dog killed that cat. And that gave the mice opportunity to move in. We have an occupied house, but still we have things in there we don't want. The other day I was cleaning out the closet. I hate my pantry. I hate it because it just gets full of junk, and I hate it. So Yvette and them left last weekend. I got rid of the pantry. I took everything out of the pantry. We have a bottom on the floor, shelf, next shelf. I'm getting ready to move, and I see a tail. Get my kung fu ready, buddy. I'm telling you. Didn't know what was happening. Well, it's full of Yvette's stuff. But I'm thinking, mice or Yvette's stuff? Well, that was a no-brainer. So I get the broom. And I kind of see where they're at. There's two of them. And they're snuggled down in this stuff. And man, I thought, I got one whack. And I take this broom, man, and I whack this shelf. And sure enough, it startled them. And now they're on the floor. Man, I'm whacking and stomping and whacking. And I kill one, and one gets away. Man, like they gave me a heart attack. I was wearing myself out so much. I'm telling you. And I thought, good night. Now, I have an occupied house. I live there. The girls live there. Yvette lives there. And we still have unwanted guests. I'm going to tell you what, as much as I occupy this house in the spirit, I have unwanted guests from this crowd that comes along. And the Bible says that fellow that swept that house, that unclean spirit came, and what he failed to do was replace what had left with good stuff. And that's what usually happens in my personal life, in your personal life. Whenever we get full of sin, we get all confessed out, we get confessed up, we get clean on the inside, but we fail to fill us with holiness and righteousness. You get filled with holiness, and I guarantee you the devil ain't coming around. So I'm here to tell you there's a battle that goes on. So you have to have commitment, then you have to have confession. I mean, you have got to confess your sins to God. You have got to make it a daily habit to get rid of sin that's in your life. You know, I my chair's gone, but most time I pray up here around this little chair I have, and sometimes I get so tired of telling God, and I know He doesn't get tired of hearing it, but I wonder sometimes if He doesn't get tired of hearing it. Lord, I sinned again. Same one. It'd be different if I was new every time. Amen? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You could come to God and say, well, God, I ain't done that again, but boy, I sure done this one. And you just never repeat. But man, I'm telling you what, I'm there every day saying the same thing over and over and over. And I'm saying, God, I'm so sorry. And I know you hear that so often, you're probably thinking, yeah, I bet. But He's not. He's gracious and He's loving and He's forgiving. But we've got to confess our sin. The third thing, not only is there's a commitment here, there's confession, but let me tell you this, there has to be obedience. I mean, we have got to know what God says and what God doesn't say. So take your Bibles real quick over to the book of Ephesians, and let's look at what he's talking about. Because sometimes we won't be here much longer. We'll get home here just in a little bit. Praise the Lord. Everybody should have said amen. This was a great idea to have church at 2:30. Amen. Not for those that didn't come, but for us it did. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Some decided before they ever got home they wasn't coming back. Kayla was one of them. She said, I'm not going back to church. I told Cherry to tell her, backslider in heart, amen. All right. Look at chapter 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning amazing, the former conversation, former lust. The old man, which is a corrupt, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, what are you supposed to put off? Well, he names a few. Now think about this for just a minute. This church at Ephesus is not made up of little kids. This is grown adults. All right? It's people like us. Wherefore, put away lying. All right, Brother Roger, quit lying. That's what he was saying. All right, Michael, quit lying. That's what he's saying. Quit. Now, surely nobody in this room would lie. But you may run into one of them others that do. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. But look at the next one, verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. I got the be angry down. I just don't have and sin not. Amen? My anger always comes with sin. Verse 28. Of all things to tell grown adults, don't steal. I'm amen in that. Amen? Let him that stole steal no more. Grown people he has to tell this to. Look at verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, what's he mean? Whatever's corrupt. Bad words, bad thoughts, bad talk, whatever. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So he tells us, here's some things I want you to put off. Put off these things. Most of them have a condition of or condition on one of the commandments. Well, turn over to Colossians for just a minute. Similar to the same thing that he tells us here. Verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Now if you think about it, he's writing to grown people here. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Well, that's a big deal to do, isn't it? Then he says to put on. And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. God says it's real simple to do. Put off all of these. Put on all of these. And here's how you do that. You're coming to a situation. Here's a pen. Let's say it represents something valuable. And you come across this pen and you say, this pen does not belong to me. I should turn it in. Instantly, there will be a thought that says, take the pen. Now, you're not above that. Nobody is. Now, what do you do? That there is not the sin. Am I going to do what this guy wants me to do? Put on the old man and take the pen? Whatever it is that represents his value? Or am I going to put on the new man? And if I take the pen, turn it in to the rightful owner. This pen represents anger. A situation that could develop anger. Let me put it that way. When I come to that situation, am I going to put on the old man with anger? Or am I going to put off the old man and put on the new man with a spirit of meekness? This pen represents anything evil you want, any choice you have to make between good and evil. It's neutral. It just reveals what's in us, who we're walking with. Put on, put off. So next week we'll get a little bit deeper into this, hopefully, and maybe stir our hearts. Father, we thank you today for the blessing of being in the house of God. Thank you for the kids and the practice of the play. And we pray next week, Lord, as they practice that you'll bless them. Or as they do the play, that you'll bless them. I pray, Lord, you'll encourage them. And I pray, Lord, we'll see a lot of people here and the encouragement from the work that they've done. Help us, Lord, to lead somebody to Christ. We pray today, Lord, that you'll bless the choir as they sing next week, and all things that are done bring glory and honor to your name. Amen. I have a note here. I had a note here somewhere. Saturday at 5, if you have a speaking part, that would be Tegan, Caitlin, Brooklyn. Huh? Okay. These two guys. Is that it? That's three girls. Colin. Okay. And Jedediah. Okay, so we need to get a hold of Jason. Saturday at 5, those that have a speaking part, just to go over them one more time, okay? Before Saturday, okay? Huh? They'll work that out. You guys all work that out, okay? Great. So you want to do it at 5 in the morning, Caitlin? Huh? 5. Yeah, everything has to work around Caitlin. Okay. Better ask Caitlin if that's okay. Okay. All right, good enough. We'll do it next Sunday. That'll work, afternoon. And we'll take care of your lunch again. We won't do a big lunch because everybody ain't staying, but we'll do something for you, okay? You will? Oh, that's even better. Praise the Lord. Okay. Everybody's invited. I feel led of the Lord to have church fellowship next Sunday. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, other than that, so that's next Sunday. Then the choir singing next Sunday morning, then this next Sunday night. There are some things out there on the table, invitation, cards, whatever, take. And boy, can you believe Christmas season just started and it's almost here. Good night, I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. All right. Yeah, we're going to do an offering on the way out. The plate is in the back there, and on your way out, you can give an offering. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody asked about the building. We didn't have all the money Friday for the building, so I got to call Greg on Monday and talk to him a little bit, and then we'll know what we're going to do. Okay? All right, let's stand together. Careful driving home. Thank the Lord that no more snow came than did. Amen. And I guess still supposed to get a lot. I don't know.
But okay.
By Wednesday, I'll tell you how much we're supposed to get. Amen. And be a blessing. Appreciate God's grace and God's goodness to us today and those that are here. And all right. Other than